The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
As you guys are hopping on here, we want to officially welcome everybody on Facebook Live. We want to welcome our podcasters. We want to welcome our YouTubers to the broadcast tonight. I want to be dealing with the contagion of fear in the last days. The contagion of fear in the last days. This is not going to be a very long broadcast tonight, probably 20 minutes tops. I want to really kind of answer, because I've had people ask me, what is your perspective and what is your view on this coronavirus? So, of course, I want to go into the Bible, and I want to show you something that's very interesting when we talk about the last days or the end times or the time of the end. You'll discover in Luke 21, one of the things that's mentioned that actually causes men's hearts to fail them is fear. And I'm going to show you that in Scripture. So if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 21, Jesus is giving a discourse to the disciples when they ask him, what will be the signs of your coming? What will be the signs of the time of the end? He tells them, of course, many of you guys already know this. There will be false prophets. There will be deception. There will be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. And he said there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And again, before all these things, they'll persecute you and deliver you. And then he goes over and he goes all the way down here to Luke 21:25. He says, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That means it'll be just chaos, confusion, people will be distraught. And it says, and the seas and the waves roaring. And in verse 26, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven will be, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, I don't know if you caught this, but in the beginning of this passage and in the end of this passage, twice the word fear is mentioned. If you go over here, it says, there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So Jesus tells us there is going to be things that are coming out of the heavens. They're going to produce fear among people. The people on earth will be gripped by fear from these fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, what does that mean? We're talking about meteors, we're talking about comets, we're talking about asteroids, we're talking about unexplainable cosmic events that are taking place. We're talking about, quote, UFOs, and that's simply, by the definition of the terms of that, is unidentified flying objects. We're not talking about extraterrestrials or aliens. We're not talking about that. I'm just saying there will be things that will appear in the skies, in the heavens, that will baffle astronomers. They will baffle scientists. They will baffle experts. This has been happening over the years. We just reported on this the other day. There was an event that took place. But nevertheless, I want you to see this. Don't miss this. As a result of these things happening in the heavens, the Lord himself used the term fearful sights. Okay? So they will produce fear in people when they see these things. But then he moves over here to the latter part of this entire discourse about the end times. And he says in verse 26 of Luke 21, men's hearts will fail them. We're talking about cardiac arrest. We're talking about heart attacks. Their hearts will stop beating in their chest. And listen, he tells you why. Their hearts will fail them. Excuse me, from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Now, what are those things? Those things are everything that he mentioned to prior before we got to this passage. So the things that men's hearts are failing them for fear of and expectation of are the nation against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, the earthquakes that are happening in various places, the famines and pestilences. So as these things are unfolding and these things are accelerating and these things are advancing in the earth, again, it says that men's hearts will fail them because of the fear of seeing these things unfold. And then he takes it a step further. He says, not only will their hearts fail them from the fear of seeing these things happening, but they'll get to a point where they'll have such fearful expectation that these people will go from, you know, it's one thing to have a panic attack, but it's another thing to have so much stress upon your body, so much fear that would grip you, that you begin to have heart attacks. And obviously, these are people that are much older. These are people that has maybe heart disorders, or they have conditions that makes them vulnerable to have these conditions. But again, don't miss what I'm trying to tell you. Right here in the scriptures, it tells you that this is something that's going to be more prevalent in the time of the end. Now, having said that, let's go to what I'm seeing happening right now. You know, there's two ways you can look at this. We can blame the mainstream media for reporting information and what's happening, and say that this is fear mongering or whatever, because people do take, you know, I believe there's two types of people. There's people that they hear the news, they read the news, and they're gripped by fear. They're people like this in Luke 21. They're gripped by fear. They become immobile. They cannot function. It just paralyzes them. And then there's other people that they see the news, they read the news, and they prepare themselves accordingly. They don't let fear grip them, but they prepare themselves. They use wisdom. They prepare for what may come so that they're not caught off guard. This is kind of like the flight or fight syndrome. You ever heard of that term? Where when something drastic happens, you got two individuals or two different responses. One individual freezes in fear and they become paralyzed and they become immobile. And then another person, they act accordingly. They're able to do things to ward off this, or they run, or they fight. You know, everybody's different. Okay. So having said that, this coronavirus, the COVID-19 or whatever it's called, is, let's just be honest with ourselves. At this point, it's a pandemic. It's gone global. It's no longer contained in China. It's gone to 60 nations, over 3,000 deaths, almost 100,000 infected, last time I checked. I pulled up, there's a website I got and I can pull it up, but I'm not going to do that. But the last time I checked, that was the numbers. There's been six now that have officially died. That's the official numbers. Six individuals have died, all of them in Washington State. From what I understand, I don't have all the information right now. We speculate, and I say speculate because at the time of this report, we don't know the full extent of the information of the victims, but we speculate that all these victims were elderly, or they were both, or they were either old and or they had a pre-existing health condition that made them vulnerable to not be able to ward off or to fight off. Their immune system was already compromised. And that's going to be the issue with anything like the flu, or some type of respiratory virus or disease. That's just the bottom line. That's how it is. So it'll be interesting to see if we get any official, when we get the full information. Again, they speculate that all these individuals was from that one nursing home. I don't know that. I can't answer that right now because I don't have all that information in front of me, but it will be interesting to see again what comes of that and if that's the truth. Okay, so we will just have to wait and see the official report on that. But nevertheless, we do have more and more information. This thing is progressing because we don't fully know the extent of what this thing is. It's unlike anything we've seen. It is a coronavirus. There's different classes of coronaviruses. They say that this is a different type of, a different class of coronavirus. They don't know the full nature of it because it's, we don't have, it's, there's not been enough time to fully get the full extent of the nature of this thing. But now, so it'll be interesting as weeks go on, we get into months that they finally find the full extent of the nature of this thing, and how, this thing operates. The we don't even fully know the incubation period. This is what drives me crazy, is because they'll quarantine these people for 14 days. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. They'll quarantine these people for 14 days and then they will release them. Because they're fine. They don't show any symptoms. They're clear and they release them. I believe this happened in San Antonio. I know I've got some Texas people on here. They could probably verify this with me. But from what I understand, this is exactly what happened in San Antonio, Texas, where they quarantined an individual for, I thought it was 14 days, said that he was fine, then released him into the public only for him to come back because he was, because he later was infected. So now they're saying that the incubation period of this thing, it can be up to 27 days. So this is what drives me crazy, is because there's so many mishaps. There's so many slip-ups. And it's frustrating. Now, there was a report that came out that the coronavirus, this was from MSN reported this, the coronavirus has probably been spreading undetected for about 6 weeks in Washington state. So this is why we've got a cluster of all these cases that are popping up every day. Boom, 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 boom. More people are coming out because they're saying, again, I quote from MSN, the novel coronavirus has probably been spreading undetected for about 6 weeks in Washington state, where the first U.S. death was reported this weekend. Now we have six. According to the report, a genetic analyst suggests that the cases are linked through community transmission and that this has been going on for weeks with hundreds of infections likely in the state. One of these individuals in the Seattle area worked for the USPS. That information came out. All right, so again, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating when you see reports like this. Now, this is from the UK. There was a UK affiliate, the Daily Mail. And I want to give you, we haven't even reported this on End Time Headlines yet. I just want to give you some, this is some information from scientists there. Quote, the coronavirus could damage people's kidneys and send their immune systems haywire, as well as infecting the lungs, according to some scientists. More than 90,000 people have now been infected with the disease, which is known to cause serious lung damage and even deadly pneumonia. It does this by attaching to and reproducing in tissue inside the lungs, where it kills cells in the process of spreading. Quote, as the cells are killed off, they drop off the lung linings and build up in clumps inside the organs, making it hard to breathe and triggering further infections. Now I'm going to read some again. Guys, don't shoot the messenger, please. I get people that get so mad at us because I'm just reporting to you again, mainstream media outlets, this and that. So you could take it and do what you want with it. I'm only relaying the report. Quote, the virus can also send, also can, it doesn't say it will on every patient. And we're not saying that it will do this to every patient. What they're saying is they have seen evidence of this playing out in some victims. The virus can send the immune system into overdrive as it tries to fight off the infection, triggering swelling, which can lead to more breathing difficulties. If a severe infection takes hold, it may move on to cause damage or dysfunction to the stomach, intestines, heart, liver, and kidneys, and even provoke organ failure. Now, I want to stop right here for a second. I had a discussion with my wife, who is a practitioner, about this. And she was quick to educate me on this because, again, I don't have a degree in this. She does. And when it comes to understanding infections and diseases and viruses and bacteria and how they work. But she assured me that this is how every virus works. Every virus does this. It replicates itself. When it gets into your body, it begins to try to take over your cells. It replicates itself and it spreads to the body, and your body begins to release what it needs to release to fight off the infection. So what they're saying here is something we already knew. Well, not all of us, because unless you're totally ignorant to this, you won't know this. But basic science and basic the basic process of how a bacteria or not so much a bacteria, but a virus works when it infects a body. The flu virus, the influenza virus, this is how it does too. All right. Now this is the part, I'll be honest with you, that got my attention. According to this research, quote, scientists today have warned that the coronavirus could become an infection that never goes away and causes seasonal outbreaks of illness like the flu. Now this goes right along with other experts, I guess you could say, epidemiologists, the CDC, the WHO. They have feared that this could be around and this could be a way of life. In other words, just like you got influenza A, influenza B, and I don't know if there's any more than that. There could be C, D. I don't know. I'm ignorant when it comes to that. I don't know fully. I know there's some people on here that work. I've seen people on here on Facebook Live that work in the medical industry. You guys can correct me. I know you guys know way more about this than I do when it comes to that. But they're saying that this could be just another type of this respiratory virus. I don't want to call it the flu. Because honestly, in my opinion, it's too early to call this a flu. I see people all the time saying things like, oh, this is just another flu, or this is just a head cold. That blows me away when people say that. Oh, this is just another head cold. No, I think it's a little bit more severe than a head cold. Okay. So I would never undermine the severity of this thing and say it's another head cold. All right. But again, the part that really got my attention today on this article, at least, was they're saying that this could lead to a long-term infection that just never goes away in the body. Kind of like I guess like bronchitis or asthma or different things where people has these COPD. There's all these respiratory things that are illnesses, fibrosis of the lungs. My dad, my biological father, died of fibrosis of the lungs. So there is people out, there's a lot. This is the, now this leads me to the next part. Give me one more thing, and then I want to give you my point of view, okay, on this. Now this was another, now there's an article today that said the World Health Organization, at least some of the World Health Organization experts, have said they don't fully understand, listen to this, they don't fully understand how the COVID-19 epidemic spreads or how it picks its targets. Because one thing that it's puzzled experts on is it seems like the young people, children, are not being affected by this. In fact, again, I stand to be corrected on this, but as far as I know right now, of all the deaths of this, 3,000 deaths that I know of, there's not been one documented death of a child. And if there has, please don't get mad at me. I just not have seen that yet. There may be, but I'm not seeing that yet. Okay, so they're kind of puzzled by that. Secondly, they're trying to figure out how, because you know, from what I read, there was one guy that was 78 years old, and he got the coronavirus. And he said it was just kind of like a bad case of bronchitis. He never even really got sick, never really got a fever, and he kind of got over it. But then there's other individuals that they've died of it. So it's just really kind of odd and kind of strange. And then there was another article that came out today where there was a doctor, and I'm going to pull this article up. Let me pull this article up here. We reported this today. Again, this was from another UK affiliate, and it said, and they reported that a doctor who played a key role in the development of drugs to treat the deadly Ebola virus is now coming out warning that the world could see. Now, again, this is a could see. Now, what did we talk about at the beginning of this? Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Now, here's a doctor coming out saying, warning that we could see, not we will see, but we could see the coronavirus come back in a deadly second wave of cases. And what she's talking about is that she is hoping that we do not see this come back like it did in 1918 with the Spanish flu. Because from what I understand, and again, we posted a video on this so you can educate yourself on this in the article on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. The first wave of the 1918 Spanish flu was not that bad. But what happened is it came through, and then when the warmer months came in, it kind of died off. But then when the next winter came, this thing came back around, and it came in a second wave, and it was the second wave, when it came through, it picked up pace around the globe, and that's what resulted in 50 million deaths worldwide. Now, guys, I pray and hope that that's not the case with this. Okay. So again, these are worst case scenarios, but again, this all plays in to right here in the scripture where we have to make a choice. And that leaves me with this. This is what I want to talk about right now, that we have to make a choice where we can live in fear every single day and let this thing grip us in fear, where we become immobile, where we don't go out of our house, we don't function in society, we kind of lock ourselves up in a basement, we become a hermit, we board the doors, we refuse to communicate with anybody and on the outside of the four walls of our house. We can choose to live in fear, or we can educate ourselves on what we need to do, properly washing our hands, you know, avoid social gatherings if necessary. I say if necessary. All right. And that's what we can do. Or, this is what we've got to do, guys. We cannot. When in the scripture here, it tells us that there will be people in the end times, in the last days, that will be dropping dead from fear of the expectation of things that are coming upon the earth. Now, let me tell you, and you say, well, Brother Ricky, what are your greatest concerns with this? All right, I'm glad you asked, because let me go over that. Let me talk about my greatest concerns with this coronavirus. Let me say this. My greatest concern is not the mortality rate, because, and I base that on the statistics that we already have with this. The statistics that we already have right now available. Now, things could change, but as of March 2nd, 2020, we are seeing a 2% mortality rate. Now, that could change. Again, that could change. All right? So I'm not really, there's not a concern about the mortality rate, because again, and I'm not saying that to be heartless, but I'm going to echo what everybody else has been echoing. The standard regular flu influenza has a just a smaller mortality rate than that. And thousands of people, thousands, die every single year from that. And we didn't stop the world. We didn't stop living. We didn't live in panic. We didn't live in fear. All right, so I want to say that. Now, but here is my greatest concerns. My number one, number one great concern that I have personally is if, and here's a big if this thing begins to explode in cases, like we see, like we saw in Wuhan, China, where you've got not just three cases a day, but all of a sudden it becomes like in Italy or in, you know, in different places, like Iran, where you're having literally 400 to 500 people in one day, in one location, coming down with this thing. My concern with that is it's going to overwhelm our medical system. I listen to a medical professional. I listened to experts that discussed this in detail last night. And they talked about here in the United States of America, even in Atlanta, Georgia, where the CDC is located, we do not have the facilitation capacity to capacitate hundreds, if not thousands of people all at one time being sick and infected. We just don't have it. So what? Now think about this, guys, as a scenario. If this started happening in Washington State and then in Oregon, and then in California, then in New York, and then in New Hampshire, and then in Rhode Island, and then in Texas, and then in Florida, and all of a sudden, all these major cities and metropolis start doing this. Boom, 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 boom. And the entire health, the medical facilities are overrun. Then what happens is, then we begin to see a repeat of the scenario that we saw in the beginning with Wuhan, China. Now people say, and I had to educate myself on this, and do and watch some videos and learn some stuff because I didn't know this. But people are starting, well, Brother Ricky, a lot of the fears of this virus stem from what we saw come out of China. And I get it. I understand. I saw the same videos. I saw the people walking in the streets collapsing and dropping dead in the streets. I saw bodies lined up in the streets. I saw bodies lined up in the hallways of hospitals. But here's what you got to understand, guys. Number one, China don't have the health industry that we do in the United States of America or in other places like Australia or in Switzerland or in Italy or in here or there. We can name different places. We don't have, or they don't have the health industry like that. So as a result of that, and listen, the population of Wuhan is like 11 million people. So here you are, you have the epicenter, ground zero of this virus outbreak. And you have a population of people that, let's just be honest, eat rats and bats and other animals. And just, it's, you know, it's just a cesspool for these. I mean, think about all these, a lot of these viruses, where do you think they stem from? Hello? It came from that location. All right. So when you've got, you know, God only knows how many people. Let me see if I can pull this up. I've got a site that I go to and I can actually pull up it tells you live numbers as we see it happening right here. So in mainland China right now, there's 80,026 documented cases. This is infected. All right. And again, mainland China, 80,026 in mainland China. Okay. And Hubei alone, 33,000. Okay. 33,000 infected. Or I'm sorry, recovered. Recovered in Hubei. Okay, there was 2,803 deaths in mainland China. So again, this is why when you watch these videos, you see all these bodies lined up in the street. You see the people dropping. The reason why, guys, is they can't. There's no more hospital beds. There's nowhere to treat these people, so they're left on their own. Now, when you're 20 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old, 30 years old, you have no other pre-existing health conditions, then you could probably fight this thing and you'll be fine. But if you're 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, or 60 years old, or you have a pre-existing condition, maybe some type of lung disease, lung disorder, whatever the case may be, and your health is already compromised, your immune system's compromised, then you have to have medical attention. And if you're not able to get that, this is why you're seeing people collapse in the street. This is why you're seeing bodies. It's not, there's so many conspiracy theories out there, and I'm not going to get into that. But it's a fact now that China is building, they are rushing to build more hospitals to capacitate the amount of sick people that are there in China. Because, listen, but you're not seeing that. You're not seeing... I've not heard one report of Italy, people dropping dead in the streets. I've not heard one report of people dropping dead in Japan or in France or in Germany or in Singapore or in the United States or Kuwait or Bahrain or Thailand or Switzerland or the UK or Australia. Not one report. Why? Because again, I'm not going to beat the dead horse on this. We just talked about why. So let me go back to this. So my greatest concern is the strain on the medical industry, the health facility, the workers. I mean, my goodness, guys, the Surgeon General just came out and they warned Americans to stop buying masks. Because if you keep buying the mask, then you are going to cause the medical workers who are on the front line trying to save people. There's going to be a mask shortage and they're not going to be able to protect themselves. And they need to get in there and do their job and help people. And by the way, the mask ain't going to do anything to protect you. All it does is prevent you from infecting other people. Well, if you don't believe that, you can research it yourself. Again, the best way to protect yourself is to wash your hands and use common sense. All right. So my second greatest concern of this is the elderly. I'm just going to say this right now. I'm absolutely disgusted at the comments that I see on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, when we reported today, even when we reported today, six people died, total deaths. What the responses of people was, well, these were just a bunch of old people. They were just some old folks. You know, it's not nothing to be concerned about. They're just a bunch of old people that probably had pre-existing, blah, blah, blah. And it's just a nonchalant attitude. Well, I have a problem with that. Number one, that's somebody, those old people that just died, that's somebody's grandfather. That's somebody's grandmother. That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's father, their aunt, their uncle, their nephew, their niece, their cousin, their brother, their sister, their aunt. And the list goes on. That's somebody's family member. Your tone would be totally different if that was your father, your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother that was in a nursing home that just died of this disease. But again, I'm not surprised because Jesus said the love of many will wax cold because we have a generation that's so selfish and it's all about them. If it don't affect them, it don't come. Listen, can I get on my soapbox for just a minute? When Kobe Bryant, listen, God bless and rest his soul. Listen, I was a Kobe Bryant fan. This is no way disrespectful to him or his family. But when he died in a helicopter crash for 3 to 4 days, all we heard about on the news 24/7 was Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant. And sometimes it was his daughter that was in the crash too, but it was Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bryant. And you never heard anything about the other people that died in the helicopter crash. So it's interesting today, here is 6 people that have died and I have not heard a single thing on the news about these individuals. I've not heard their names. I've not heard anything about their family. I've not heard anything about their occupation. I've not heard one single thing. But I guarantee you that if any of these individuals was a somebody in Hollywood or the music industry or whatever the case may be, or the sports industry, it would be 24/7 on the news. We would know what they had for lunch last week. We would know their favorite spot to vacation. We would know where they went to shop at and their favorite retail center. We would know every single thing about that individual. My point is, I'm so frustrated. You guys attack me many times for what I report. I get it. I understand the bias and the manipulation and the fear tactics of the mainstream media and how there's so much double standards that it makes me want to vomit. So again, my greatest concern is the medical industry and the elderly people out there. Because if this thing is inevitable and it's global and it's a pandemic and it's going to sweep the globe like the Asian flu or any of the, or the Spanish flu or any of these other previous flus or viruses, then friends, there's going to be if we just base this on the 2%, you know, that you can say the 2%. If you have 100,000 people and 2% die, that's not going to be, that's a lot of people. I get that. That's a lot of people. Yes, it is. But when you get to 50 million people, do the math, 50 million people and 2% of 50 million, that's a lot of people, guys. That's a lot of grandfathers. That's a lot of dads that ain't going to come home. A lot of mothers. A lot of aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces and cousins and brothers and sisters that are going to get sick with this, and they're not going to come out of the hospital. So this is my concern. And if I had my last concern of this thing is that we don't fully know everything about this thing. It's evolving. It's progressing. So I know a lot of these people are jumping the gun and saying, well, this is just another flu. This is just another head cold. I'm not going to be quick to jump out there and say this. Now, I will say by faith, I said this on my main Facebook page. Let me pull it up. I'm going to share word for word because I don't retract anything I said. I'm going to tell you exactly what I said yesterday on my own personal Facebook page. I want to read this. Quote, this is what I said yesterday. Did you know that in 2009, millions of Americans were infected with swine flu and that it killed thousands of people here in the United States? Many people don't know this. This was under President Barack Obama's presidency. Millions of people infected with the swine flu. Remember that? Some of y'all are quick to forget that. But that thing went all over the news, media. Millions of people got infected with it. And thousands of people died. But guess what? We're still standing. And we're still here. Quote, I have faith that we will make it through the coronavirus as well. And I still hold to that. It's not the end of the world. We're not in the tribulation yet. Some people say we are. We're not. Should we prepare for the worst? Yes. I'm not going to mix my words. Yes. Should we stay informed? Yes. Should we panic and lose our minds over this? No. At this point, again, and I don't want to, my greatest concern, and then we can add this to the fourth one because I didn't mention this a while ago, but I did this on my Facebook page. My fear is the contagion of, or my concern is the contagion of fear that is sweeping the global economy, pushing us to the brink of a global recession. Now, thank God the market came back today and rallied to the largest rally in history. So it's amazing how we had the largest one-day drop and then we have the largest one-day rally. So I'm telling you, man, this thing is just woo all over the place, all right? Quote, when this virus first emerged on the scene, the only inside look we had of it was what we were being shown coming out of China. So I'm kind of reiterating what I said a while ago. which was very ominous to say the least. But as the virus has spread to other nations, you will begin to see that many are recovering from it, which is true. More are recovering from than dying. And the death toll isn't like what we were seeing coming out of China. This is a quote, and I put this on here, new coronavirus. Therefore, the stats of this is progressing weekly. Thus far, I agree with the President of the United States that we don't need to panic. But if we don't get a grip on this soon as a society, we could see some rough days ahead. So I stand behind that. And I just echo what I said yesterday. And I want to pull this thing back around, and we're going to close right here with this. We're starting to see previews of what Jesus said in Luke 21. When he said that men's hearts will fail them for fear of the expectation of the things which are coming upon the earth. We're starting to see a preview of that. If you think people are losing their minds now, and you think people are panicking now, and you think people are rushing to Costco and Sam's and all these other outlet stores and grocery stores, and they're buying out all the toilet paper, and they're buying out all the water off the shelves, and they're buying out all the antibiotic soaps and all the this and the mask, and you think people are panicking now? My friends, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until we get into the tribulation. And we're not there yet. But when we get in the tribulation period, that I'm telling you, then you're going to see where men and women are going to drop dead in the streets, not from this virus or per se, but from fear. People are just going to be dropping from fear. Jesus said men's hearts will fail them from the expectation. They're expecting to die. They're expecting the worst. They're expecting this and expecting that. So listen, we have a choice. I refuse to be gripped by fear. I choose to stand on what Paul said. God has not given you and I a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God, the spirit of fear, if God didn't give it to us, then I don't want it. And I'm going to tell you where it's coming from. That is being fueled from the enemy. The devil puts fear in us. The devil propagates fear. The devil releases fear. And we can choose to either be fearful or we can choose to be faithful. And I choose to stand on the promise of the word. I choose to stand in faith of the word and believe that the same God that got us through, come on, the Zika virus and the H1N1 and the swine flu and the Ebola and all these other things, I'm believing that he's going to get us through he's going to get us through this as well. Why? Because again, we're not in the tribulation yet. God is not pouring out his wrath. And I don't even believe, I'm going to go as far as say that I don't believe it's judgment either. And I base that again. I broke this down the other night. I'm going to give you about a 30 second segment on or a little excerpt on this because I don't have time to break all this down and take too long. But if this, again, the way you can tell if it's judgment of God, when you go into the Old Testament, when God began to judge nations and judge people, he made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. Go to the book of Exodus. When God was pouring out his judgment upon Egypt, the Egyptians were affected, but the people of God were not touched. This virus is not just touching the wicked. It's touching everybody on the face of the earth. So no, I don't believe it's judgment of God. I don't. I'm going to come out and say it. I don't believe it's judgment of God. But I do believe that God can use this to wake people up. To get us to pray, get us to intercede, get us to repent. And I talked about that as well in other segments, and I don't have time to get into that tonight. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's where you're going to find us. That's where you're going to be our landing page, excuse me. And if you go to the link right there on Facebook Live, you're going to see a link. You can click on that. You can subscribe to us. Get one daily digest in your inbox. You can subscribe to push notifications and be notified of breaking news and alerts when it comes through when we publish those. You guys on YouTube and on podcasts, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you go. All that information is right there in front of your screen. It's been popping up through this throughout this podcast. this broadcast. Also, at the end of this broadcast, there'll be more information there as well. And again, as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity to partner with us and to support this ministry. If this ministry is a weekly, continual blessing to you, a place of encouragement and information and revelation, we want to give you the opportunity to sow back into this ministry as a gratitude of thanksgiving and help us to remain strong in 2020. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We will be back on here either on Wednesday or Thursday, and we will do our devotional word for the midweek service or midweek program. And then we will close off the end of this week on Friday with another podcast in which we will be dealing with another particular subject of news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So God bless you guys.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.